Blog Talk Radio.
John, again,
with Dr. Suzanne, and we do thank you for tuning in each and every Wednesday. We come together with a blog, talk, radio, and interactive study. And what do we mean by interactive? We like to interact with those of you who are listening via phone, and even those who are internet who would like to call in and tune in to be a part of the conversation. You can go through the chat room or you can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. And when you call in, you would hit number one, and then you would be connected with us. And you have an opportunity so that other listeners can hear when you have something to share. We just hope that everyone is coming together, and we do. Again, thank you. We're going to have prayer, then we're going to go in scripture, and then we're going to open up for a discussion. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you for all the listeners that tune in, even those, Heavenly Father, that wanted to tune in and that did not have the opportunity. We ask, Heavenly Father, for a fresh anointing, Heavenly Father, upon all those ears, Heavenly Father, that are listening. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would unveil the mysteries of your word as we just share what thus saith the Lord. Father, we just ask that you would just allow us to be on one accord, that you would guide our minds. Give us clarity, Heavenly Father. Lord, that we pray that you would just be with our thoughts, Heavenly Father, as we just share the word. And Father, we just thank you just for allowing us to be able to come together, taking time out just to share a word. We know there's a blessing, Father. Whenever you are in the midst, Heavenly Father, something great is about ready to happen. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that we just invite you at all times, not just this time, but in our walk. And we'll be sure to give you the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to our topic this evening is assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. And what we are going to do is, again, read the scriptures, and then after the scriptures, we're going to open it up for you, and we just ask that that you just, if you are at home, that you just keep the noise level down. Right now, all the mics are open for anyone that would like to share, so we can't hear what's in the background. So if you are going to speak, make sure that there is no noise in the background so that we do not hear what's said or what's rattling or what's done, okay? We just want to be on one accord. We thank you. We're coming with the title, Assurance of Salvation. Assurance of Salvation. Again, we're going to do a little twist, and we're going to go through the scriptures, and as we go through the scriptures, then we're going to open up a conversation for some topics of discussion. And we just ask that, you know, you just be participants. We know that we have a lot of numbers that are listed. And for those of you that that do not make any comments or whatever, there is no wrong or right answer when God is speaking to you. It's just what you are seeing through the word and what you're sharing. And, you know, we are just sharing together. We're growing together. And, you know, just keep in mind that we are all trying to learn more and be more like Christ. So that's why we come together. We all have our trials and our tribulations, and I'm sure that you can attest to that. The first scripture we're going is 1 John 5:11 through 13. 1 John 5:11 through 13. And the scripture says, and this is the witness that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. And as we read this scripture, I want to open up the topics. Or is there any comments in terms of your understanding of the assurance of salvation? The assurance of salvation. Any comments? Okay, well, I guess I will open it up in terms of that. I will start the conversation off. When I look at the scripture, it says, he that has the Son has life. And life is not life here on earth, the way I read it. It's not life on earth. That is eternal life, is given by the Son of God. Amen. Jesus Christ came and he died and he resurrected and he allowed the Holy Spirit to come that the Holy Spirit would dwell within us. So when we are going through, once we have accepted Christ, we have become a new person. Our walk is different, our talk is different, and we are attempting to be obedient to the Word of God. We're attempting to follow and enjoy all the benefits that God has given us. So when he that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son has not life. So we're talking about eternal life. So if a person believes and has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they have life. They have eternal life. And if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if they have not accepted him, it's saying that they will not have eternal life. And the key is that we believe on the name of the Son of God, and that key is believing. Believing. Any comments? 631-216, any comments? Hey, amen. I think I do have the mics open. Okay, they are all open. Just wanted to make sure of that. That's okay. Well, we're going to move on. As we move on with the scripture and looking at that, these things I have written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God. That being the things that I have written unto you is the Word of God, and under the Word of God, do we believe what the Bible says? Or do we not? Do we believe that those are God's instructions for man? Are those instructions? Do we believe upon the Word of God? Do we believe upon that? And again, you know, as we look at it, you know, we're talking about do we believe God? Do we believe God? And it's saying, the word here is saying that if we do not believe in Jesus Christ, then we will not have eternal life if we do not believe on the Son of God. Amen? So when we look at the Bible, you know, verse 11, that's, you know, saying, you know, that this is a record. This is a record. You know, and it's the amount of testimonies which has been given, you know, in terms of respecting him and respecting the word. This is a record that has been, you know, that has been passed on to us of the testimonies of those that are in the Bible, those that are, you know, all the prophets and everything that has happened in the Bible. They're just testimonies in terms of the Word of God. That record serves as a witness to us that is a God, that we do have eternal life, Amen.
Amen.
And it says, let no man, you know, let no man deceive himself here. No one should deceive themselves in terms of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If we deceive ourselves, there's no glory. If there's no glory, there's no God. If there's no God, then there's no record according to our belief. Now, how do you feel about that? The understanding of the assurance of salvation. Well, let me go to the next question. Does that apply? How does that apply to you, and how does that apply to me? We being men and women of faith, men and women, Christians, how does that apply? Comments? Amen. 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 He that has the Son has life. He that has the Son has life. Life, again, we're talking about eternal life, given unto the Son of God. Amen. And that eternal life cannot be enjoyed without him. No man can have it without having Christ. So therefore, anyone that has life has eternal life. That faith, that belief that Christ is in our heart, it's in your heart, it's in my heart, that faith and belief that Christ is in our heart, that Christ is indwelling within you and me. So, and again, it says, you know, that, you know, that we should not deceive ourselves, you know, in terms of believing that there is no God. In terms, we should not deceive ourselves in terms of believing that the Word, the Bible, is not a record that was left behind for us, for you and for me. Amen? We're going to move on, you know, to the next scripture. And these are basically, you know, some short scriptures. And again, I'm going, you know, to go right back into, you know, the questions and, you know, looking for, you know, responses from those of you who are, who have tuned in, you know, to just share what your thoughts are, what your feelings are, what your interpretation is with what we have read. Amen? The next scripture we're looking at is John 1:12 and 1:13. John has John 1:12 and 1:13. And again, for those of you that have tuned in, we are discussing assurance salvation. Okay, did you want to read it?
John 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And this is the Serendipity Bible, the New International Version.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how does that apply in terms of, you know, anyone want to comment in terms of what, how you would interpret that? In my scripture, you know, my scripture is a little different. It says, but as many as received to him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. And when I look at that, when I see that, but as many as receive him, and I think that that's the key word there, receiving him, receiving God within our heart. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become children of God. So once we have received Jesus Christ within our heart, then we became children of God. Amen?
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when I look at that, which will, we're looking at that is, the key is, but of God, born of God, not born of natural blood, not born of flesh, nor of the will of man. But the key there is saying those who are born of God. And once we receive God within our heart.
There it is.
Once we receive God in our heart, we become a changed person.
Mm-hmm.
And we become born of God. Once we receive, mm-hmm. our heart has been changed. Mm-hmm. Our heart has been changed. And our heart is determines who we are,
mm-hmm.
and what we believe. God looks at our heart. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. You know, when I say, look at that as far as myself, I look at in terms of, I'm always trying to correct myself about how I conduct myself and the things that I say and the things that I do. And I have to always question myself, am I in doing this in the will of God? Making sure that my decisions or what I do is not of the flesh. And even though that we receive God in our heart, we are always going to be challenged. We are always going to be challenged with the world. We are always going to have things that's coming against us to get our hearts to begin to start to feel it did before we received Christ. A hardened heart. Someone has done something to me, and I have to make sure that I'm in the will of God, that I have, the heart of God, that I do not fall back into the way that I used to be. I do not begin to start to feel the way that I used to feel before I received Christ in my heart. And it can be easy, if we don't stay in the Word of God, to fall backwards. Because once we receive God, we become a new person, a new creature. We don't act the same. We don't walk the same. We don't talk the same. We don't do the same things because that does not please us anymore. Because our pleasure now has been changed into what we do for God. What we do to please God, to making sure that we are doing what God wants us to do, that we are acting and operating according to our purpose. Once we receive God, then we become that new person. And my question, is throws out there to all of you. Once you receive God, the challenges, what are the challenges that you may go through or have gone through that has tried to draw you back into the world, to draw you back into how you were thinking before you received God. My question goes out to you. What is your response to that? Are there any testimonies? Are there any comments of your challenges? Because let's face it, once we receive God or once we receive Christ within our heart and we become a new creature, we become a new person, that doesn't mean that everything's going to always be right after that. All of a sudden, everything's going to be glorious. We're going to have challenges. Comments on challenges that you may have or how that applies to you. Once you accepted God or Christ in your heart. Any comments?
I'd like to comment.
Please do.
Where it says in 12, I'm going back to verse 12, where it says, as many as received him, and as individuals, as we receive Christ, the moment we receive Christ, we received everything. We received his power, his overcoming power. And we are no longer separate as we were when we were unsaved or didn't receive him. Once we receive Christ, we have everything because, like the Word of God says, greater is he that is in us than in the world or in our flesh. Anything that we go through, any challenges that we go through, God is letting us know through Christ we can not only do all things, we can do all things, but we can be overcomers.
Amen.
In that very thing. Not saying that the trials and the tribulations won't be difficult, but through Christ, who is our strength, we can overcome. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. And you know, my sister, you know, and that's a good thing of knowing we are overcomers. You know, and people to hear that, you know, because oftentimes, you know, we believe that we have fallen so short that we're not worthy.
Right.
You know? And I'm talking about in terms of, I mean, let's just, you know, keep it real. I'm just talking about what people go through in the world, those that have Christ, and fall right back into the world. Anybody who has accepted Christ is no different. We all fall short. No one is perfect except for Christ.
But, you know, I heard T.D. Jakes say this on his program one day. He said, what is the difference between a lamb and a pig? A pig, when he falls, we all fall short. And we all will go in that mud like the prodigal son did. But one thing about a lamb than a pig is the pig waddles. He wallows in the mud. You know, because that's where he is. That's where his nature is. But when we're transformed into being like Christ, we are no longer that, but we are lambs. And I'm paraphrasing everything, but my understanding is that when the lamb falls in the mud, that lamb knows that that's not the place for me. So, in turn, that lamb gets up. Because he has been born again. He's no longer a pig. And pig, in terms meaning of the world, haven't accepted Christ. Haven't accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And like I said, we get up. We may fall down, but we get up. Donnie McClurkin. We do fall down, but we get up.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. No, because of the power, because of our transformation. The power
Amen.
Of Christ. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we have to be reminded of who we are in Christ.
Yes.
You know, that
yeah.
You just say, we have to be reminded of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy in the world to forget who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a good word, my sister. That is a good word.
Mm-hmm. Piggyback.
Always be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
Always be reminded. Any other comments? Amen. Well, the mics are open. All of the mics are open. And, you know, if anyone wants to make a comment, please do. You know, let's just, you know, go ahead and just have a good time in the Word. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Come on, body of Christ.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are moving on to the next scripture, and it's Romans 8:16. My sister, once you find it, if you'd like to read it.
Okay. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen. Amen.
And if I can go on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise God. The Spirit itself beareth witness.
Did you want to make a comment?
No, I was just saying the Spirit itself, just reading it again, beareth witness with our spirit. Once we're born again, that's where our witness is, the Spirit with our spirit, being one. Being one.
Amen.
That are.
Amen. You know, when I see that, you know, I look at that and it says the Spirit bears witness to the Spirit. You know, when I see that, I look at in terms of Jesus Christ left the Holy, he left the Holy Spirit with us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we look at the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when God looks down and looks at us,
he sees the blood.
The Spirit bears witness of our spirit. When God looks down, he looks past our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He looks past our faults. He looks past all our mistakes, and he sees of his Son. And when he sees the Spirit of his Son, when I see that, to me, it bears witness. Now, let me just take it a little further. It's like going somewhere and knowing that you have a child that lives in another country or away from you. And going and all of a sudden you happen to run upon this person that you have not seen, but there's something about that person that tells you that he or she is yours. There's something about that person that reveals that he or she is a part of you. It's like a father, well, let me just say, a mother knowing its child. A mother knowing its child saying, that's my daughter.
Because she gave birth.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the key, the birth. Now, I'm talking about the birth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
When we received the Holy Spirit. And when I see the Spirit bears witness upon our spirit that we are children of God. So when God looks at us, he's looking at us as our children. He's not looking at our faults. He's not looking at our flesh. He's not looking at anything that we... He's looking at we being the children of God, those who have received Jesus Christ within their hearts. And so when I see that, that's almost like, you know, when I look at an adopted person, Mm-hmm. Someone that has been adopted into the family.
Yes.
Of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see that, that's just how I see that. Any comments anywhere else? Anyone want to make a comment? Any of these other numbers would like to make a comment? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. Any comment, my sister?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Amen. I just like that, you know, the Spirit bears
witness
upon the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going, you know, and another thing I look at, you know, or just, you know, it's like going and talking to someone that you don't know, but you know they are a child of God. You know they're Christian.
Because the Spirit bears witness.
Amen. The Spirit bears witness. We know that they are a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing anything about them, meeting them for the first time, but we know that they are a Christian by certain things they do or certain things they may say or how they act. The Spirit bears witness. It's almost like, you know, we connect, you know. Brothers and sisters, we connect through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to move on to Hebrews 6, 4 through 9. Hebrews 6, 4 through 9. Give you a minute to get there. Brother Noah, we're going to make sure we pray for him, kind of ill today, and wanted to be a part of this. And, you know, all the other, you know, Dr. Suzanne, you know, all those others who are usually hear from. And it's just good, when you can communicate, Bible study, via, even though that we're communicating, via New York, it's just, beautiful just to be able to share the Word of God.
Yes, praise God.
Okay, Hebrews 4, 6, 4 through 9. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tested of heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tested the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again up unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Wow.
For the earth is in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth plants fit for them by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. And let me read that 7 again. For the earth which in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth plants fit for them by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. Amen. 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 We're talking about good soil. Good soil brings forth good fruit.
Wow.
Amen. And the tiller, God, continues to be, and it continues to be cultivated. Good fruit. We're talking about good fruit, good ground, good fruit, and there has to be a tiller. And that tiller continues to cultivate it, and it continues to bring good fruit. And here, when we're talking about good fruit, we're talking about blessings for the laborers or the workers. Blessings for the laborers or those who are the workers. Meaning that, you know, and when I see that, we being children of God, there is a purpose for you. There is a purpose for me. And when we continue to be about God's business, when we continue to witness to those who don't know Christ, we bear good fruit. We bear fruit. That fruit is those that we have witnessed to, planted a seed. We may not see that right then or there. We might not see that person come to Christ when we witness to them. But later on down the road, he may send them to my sister, my brother. They may go to someone else who is going to continue to work on that brother or that sister because that seed has been planted. And God is constantly watering, and eventually that seed will begin to start to bear fruit. We are to always be a witness for God, no matter who we come in contact with. And I do believe that God sends people our way. Someone may be hurting. Someone may be challenged. Someone may have had a sickness or going through a sickness. And God is going to send them our way so that we can be a witness to them.
Amen.
They're always going to be cultivated. Once that seed has been planted, it's always going to be cultivated. God's going to just, they're going to always come across someone who is going to share the word of God with them. I think of the, and it says, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Identifying what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God. It may be just encouraging someone that needs encouragement. It may be helping someone that needs finances. It may be helping someone who has fallen short. Whatever the situation may be, God is going to continue to use us, cultivate those who are seeking God. He's going to use those, the body of Christ, for others. And in turn, where I see, it says here, we receive blessings from God. We receive blessings from God. Any comments?
And what about going back? Let's go back to verse 4, Brother John, where it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, which is Christ, because he was our gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, which is his power, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, my God, if they shall fall away, to renew them again That, to me, that means completely turning your back. You know, you have some people that have been in church, and they've tasted of, they've tasted salvation, and now I don't know for what reason or for some reason they've fallen away and basically turned their backs, or except when they need God, when they need Christ, they yell for him. But in the meantime, their lives are what they, it's their program. It's me, 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 I. It's not even the things of God. For them to like it says, when they do that, all those people, they don't even realize, all those people that have been looking at them when they've tasted, when they've received Christ as their personal Savior, and then for them to turn away, people are looking. Now you've fallen away, and you've crucified Christ afresh, because now they're not even looking at you now. They're looking at, well, you ain't never had anything. You've turned your back. Look, you in the club with me now, and I used to look at you as the closest thing to Christ. And now, you know, you've fallen away, and you've crucified him afresh. You've brought him to an open shame. See, we have to remember, it's not always, it's not about us. It's about who we represent. And we have to, like you said, you've taken inventory about yourself of how to act, what to say. You know, you want to present Christ in a light which he is. We have to, we really have to take some inventory of ourselves. I was just talking about that, especially when you've tasted of Christ and all that you've known about Christ and all that he's shown you and manifested his power to you, to turn your back and to go another way. That's like crucifying him again.
Amen.
That's my take on that.
You know, and you said that what kind of spark that I look at in terms of so many who are in the light. You know, that, again, you people look up to and who have fallen short, And I look and it's, you know, here, you know, they have, they crucified themselves for number one. The Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, open shame. And everyone is a shame because of what they have done. Everyone is a shame because they're supposed, they've been looked up to, they've been held to high esteem, and now they have, they put, you know, they put what they believe and what they said to a shame.
And it's not to say that we're so heavenly bound that nobody makes mistakes, but when you it's just like the pig and the lamb, when you waddle in it, you know, and not turn, something should, if spirit on spirit, something's supposed to click in you. I'm wondering if we are really saved, because something should strike a chord in your inner man to say, oh no, I have to come back to my Father, who saved me out of the muck and the mire.
Amen.
You know, I don't know.
Amen. Yeah, that's a powerful piece there. You know, that's a powerful piece. It really is. You know, it really is. You know, but again, you know, there's always glory, even though that, that part may look or sound bad. It says, it says, and as we're going right back, you know, to verse 7, for the earth will drip in the rain that comes often often upon it and bring forth plants fit for them by whom it is cultivated. Receive blessings from God. That's a testimony of victory right there.
That if we can, praise God.
It says, you know, it's a straight and narrow road. If we continue on that straight and narrow road,
mm-hmm.
then there are blessings. There are
mm-hmm.
blessings, Father, for the children of God. There's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that you and I have been looking for or trying to get, all we have to do is be about his business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And come, mm-hmm. you know, all those things will come.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go out and become selfish
Mm-mm.
with money.
Mm-mm.
We don't have to go out and become selfish with material things.
Mm-mm.
It's saying that all we have to do is stay on that straight and narrow road and be about his business, that there are blessings that we will receive.
Mm-hmm. A made-up mind. We need a made-up mind.
Amen. Amen.
And how we can
Amen.
Get that made-up mind, we have to stay in the Word.
Hallelujah.
Because it's the Word that renews us.
And stay in fellowship.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Stay in fellowship,
that's
which is so
mm-hmm.
important. That's
mm-hmm.
why, you know, I see Bible study being so important, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to be able to, if we don't talk out or communicate, just hearing the Word, you know,
mm-hmm.
just kind of food for our, you know, for our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It feeds,
it feeds us.
Right. It reminds us of who we are. It reminds
mm-hmm.
us of who we are and what we are about
mm-hmm.
as the
mm-hmm.
body of Christ, as Christians, as men and women of God, as children of God.
Mm-hmm. Learning. Mm-hmm. And like
Amen.
My pastor said, like, we should be running to Bible study. You know, sometimes people go from Sunday to Sunday and nothing in between. We should be running to Bible study to hear the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I always look at, you know, that we're always going to be, that this is a spiritual warfare.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all
mm-hmm.
going to be challenged and
mm-hmm.
there's always going to be something that's going to kind of shake us up a little bit.
Mm, yes.
Or we stop and take a break, and then before you know it,
mm-hmm.
we want to take two breaks, then three breaks, and then before
mm-hmm.
you know it, we're out of sync altogether. But that
oh,
is
I've
just
been there.
Mm-hmm. That's what it does. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy anything that God has given us. He wants to take
mm-hmm.
it away. That's why, you know, as you said, it's important to stay in the Word of God. You know, even with just this, we're just sharing the Word of God. We're feeding. We're feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are listening by internet, we're feeding. We're all feeding as the
mm-hmm.
body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're all growing together.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing together. And I just pray that God blesses, you know, this Bible blog, you know, for even those that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
We gain and learn from each other, from someone else's walk. That's what it's all about, helping each other out.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go to the last scripture, which is 1 John 1, 7 through 9. And I think we're looking at about 4 minutes left remaining. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. And it says, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Wow. That's
Amen.
Powerful. Powerful.
Amen.
Amen.
We were just talking about being perfect. There's no one perfect.
No.
We all
not in the
fall
flesh.
Short.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We all fall short. We all have sin. We sin every day. But the key is saying here that if we walk in the light, if we are Christians, if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, as he is in the light, if we're walking, trying to be more like Christ, and we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all of our sin. But the key is that we have to come before Christ and repent of our sins. That's a daily repentance. Not daily repentance. I'm talking about a daily repentance. I'm talking about, you know, a second repentance, a minute repentance, a whole repentance.
So you true. Know?
We are constantly asking God to forgive us.
Help us, Lord.
And we cannot forget that we have to constantly confess our sin. And it says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen?
And that goes right back to the
topic. We have about 90 seconds left.
And that goes right back to the topic, the assurance of salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in by internet, and also those that tuned in by phone. We do invite you back next Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and please join us. We do thank you again. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Good night.
Good night.